This is Wine and Dine in LA with Anush, where I talk about wine in a fun and approachable way and bring you all insights of the world of wine.
Welcome back. We are having a wonderful conversation with Gevik Bagdasaryan, president of International Grill Inc., owner of Masis Kebab, the original kebabery who celebrated over 40 years of being in business and serving the large community of Los Angeles by delivering beautiful, yummy, delicious food at the most affordable prices and a very convenient, and then your convenience. Thank you, Gevik, so much for sharing the story of how your family arrived to U.S. and how the business started. It's very touching, and it's so sweet that, you know, your dad even he felt like he had to go to work every day and be there, I'm sure, after even he retired.
He was one of those, you don't make them like that anymore. My dad just was, he put his life into the business. You know, people, a lot of people look at us now and they're like, oh, that's a good concept. And, you know, they're doing well. And, you know, they got a long line and people are there. But it wasn't always like that. You know, my dad really, you know, when he opened up the business, I talked about how people didn't know what this food was. You know, it was kind of odd ethnic food in the 70s and 80s. And he had to physically, you know, kind of almost sell the food to people. But he was a master businessman. He was a master marketer. When he took over the business from the original founder, like I said, he was more, it was more like Lebanese style food, Armenian food. It was more falafels and tas kebab and shawarma style foods. What he implemented, and you see it now more, where it's a kind of cross reference, right? Like, you know, Iranian Persian restaurants really didn't sell hummus. And, you know, it was truly traditional Persian, and Lebanese, you know, restaurants wouldn't sell like, you know, something that you'd find at a Persian restaurant. But now you see where this community is kind of so mixed. So what he did is he introduced the Persian style kebab to the menu. So he added like a shish kebab and the kubideh and salat shirazi and mastukhiyar, and so it really became, before there was kind of this, you know, fusion food, he kind of introduced it. So he kind of, what was good about the product, what people liked, was you can be an Armenian from Lebanon, you can be an Armenian from Armenia, you could be an Armenian from Iran, from Syria, wherever, and you kind of, you know, recognize the food because it had something from all these countries. It was kind of a little melting pot, and so that's what made people more familiar with it, you know. And it wasn't just traditionally, you know, Persian cuisine, and it wasn't, you know, Lebanese, and it wasn't thing. It's kind of like the best of, you know, what we offer. So we have the falafel sandwich and a falafel plate, and we have the kubideh, which is made Persian style kubideh, and we have the juja kebab, which is the chicken with the bones.
I'm getting so hungry.
And other than that, the menu hasn't changed. I mean, other than my dad, when he expanded, so the store was a really tiny storefront in the Glendale Galleria. And, you know, as he grew the business, he started getting the store bigger and bigger. And a bigger store means you get a bigger grill. We're limited by how big our grill is, because you could only, because we make everything fresh and we don't make anything and we don't hold it. We don't, you know, preserve anything. So when you order, we put it on the grill. So as we became busier and busier, we needed a bigger grill. So as he had the space, he was able to introduce these new items. But since then, you know, the menu really hasn't modified, you know, for example, in the last, you know, 30 years or so.
Yeah. Why change something that's so delicious? How did he decide to open another location? Because to me, it seems like a big step. You know, you have a location and then, you know, because you cannot be at the both places at the same time. You need to have trusted people that you can go into another place. And what was the second one? Was it close by or was it completely different on the west side?
The second location was at the Sherman Oaks Fashion Square. And there was already a Mediterranean restaurant in the food court. It was Israeli style Mediterranean. Very nice guy. I think he still stopped by to the day. But he wanted to sell the business and retire. And the opportunity was, you know, introduced to my dad. And it was hard for him because here's a guy who's at the store. My dad's routine was to wake up in the morning, you know, go to the restaurant and, you know, help with everything. You know, he was on the cashier, he was, you know, prepping food, he was walking around, he was going to the bank. And so it was very time consuming. So opening that second location in the restaurant industry, that's a big deal. I always tell people it's the hardest thing is opening up your second location, not your, you know, 60th. Because whenever you have like a chef who's really done well, and you go there because it's the chef and he's there and you know it's going to be amazing. You know he's going to cater to whatever you like and it's your go-to spot. When that chef opens up that second location, well, guess what? He can't be two places at the same time. So now you have to, unless he's really good at it and has really quality people that, you know, follow his direction and think you, now you have two locations that might suffer, right? Because he can't be at both locations 100% of the time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So my dad, you know, he really, I mean, he would go to both locations every day. Traffic was a little bit lighter back then, but, but he would get in his Cadillac and he would drive every single day from Glendale to Sherman Oaks and sometimes back and forth. And you know, he would hire back, it's different now, but back then, you know, you would hire a lot of people that were just coming to the country from the old country back then it was mostly either Lebanon or or Iran in the beginning. And then later on it became Armenia. And these were people either who were, friends of, you know, family or friends, kids, they were like kids who were either doing on their way in high school or on their way to college or part-time in college and needed a summer job because they're helping their parents. And so he was fortunate to have a lot of, you know, loyal quality people that were helping him out, including a lot of my cousins. I have a big family. Mm-hmm. So I think almost every son, they call it Hakop University.
Amazing. I love that. That is so great.
I think every one of my cousins pretty much ended up, you know, at some point working at a Musi's Kebab location. And then there's a lot of people, you know, to this day who say, you know, the first person who taught me how to balance a book or a checkbook was your dad. You know, these are people who are like successful lawyers,
that's
doctors,
amazing.
CPAs. And then they're like, you know, I was a kid, so I don't really remember it, but they're like, yeah, when I came to this country, your dad not only gave me a job, but that wasn't the value. It wasn't the money I got from there. It was, he actually pulled me aside and he said, okay, this is what I want you to do. You know, this isn't a future for you. This is a job isn't somewhere you need to go to school, you know? And so he would help them out. He was so proud to see like that these people that worked for him ended up having a successful career. And like, if you walked in a bank and you saw they were the bank manager, he was so happy, you know, that he had that connection. And you know, in a small way, he was part of that experience. So
amazing.
The employees are key. We've been to this, I mean, we're very fortunate that, you know, we've always had great employees. That's what makes this whole coronavirus pandemic issue so bad. It's you know, businesses, you know, always have ups and downs, and you know, you struggle, but you know, having to tell your employees, you know, there's no work because the malls are all closed, that's been the hardest part about this whole you know, pandemic you know, calamity.
How, I mean, besides being closed, obviously not working, how else has it affected? What do you, like, there, at some point the malls were open, and I know, I'm not sure if what's going on now, if they're closed, if they're open. How did that, how was that period? Has anything, like, during that short time that it was open, share your experience.
Sure. We were in a unique position, and not in a good unique position, because all of our locations were inside malls, in the interior of the mall. The when the first shelter in place orders came in, they shut down the malls. And so even though there was takeout and delivery, we weren't able to, this I'm talking about in mid-March, April, mm-hmm. and May, when the shutdown orders came in, some restaurants were still operational with catering or delivery or, you know, curbside pickup. We were completely shut down because the order was malls could not open. So people couldn't enter the malls. We weren't even allowed to go into the malls ourselves unless there was some, you know, emergency reason. And that was really hard, because we had to shut down all six locations and essentially, you know, lay off our staff. And that was the hardest thing to do. We really had no choice, but that's, what else can you do? Since after the reopening orders came in, going back to June, mid-June, when they reopened retail and malls and all that, things looked a little bit more optimistic. People were kind of sick and tired of being at home, so we saw, you know, traffic returning to the malls, and it was very pleasant. And then a few weeks ago, they shut down, interior dining again. So the malls were open, but no seating, which is troubling for us because, you know, a lot of our traffic is just the mall traffic. You know, people who are shopping, doing retail, and, you know, end up coming to the food court to pick up some food. But if there's nowhere for them to sit, right, then, you know, obviously they might just go home. And so we did that. We did just kind of pick up and delivery. And now with the governor's order on Monday, we're back to kind of where we were in the beginning, where the malls have, again, the interior of the malls have been shut down. We're waiting for some clarity with the health department. It seems like we can do curbside delivery and pickup. So as long as we set up like a stand outside on the curb, right outside the food court, we'll be able to deliver customers. Customers can kind of basically drive up, you know, place their orders online and then pick up and take it home. Or we can do delivery with our partners, DoorDash, Postmates, and Grubhub. And that's kind of where we're at now. We're you know, it is what it is. It's really hard for the restaurant industry in particular, because,
and,
you know,
and your situation seems to be the worst. You don't have, do you have a capability, do any of the malls have capability? Because I know that Century City, they do have a capability of outside dining. There is, like, there are tables and everything outside.
So under the new, Century City is the only mall we're in, which is fully operational. Century mm-hmm. City is, you know, like the Grove and like the Americana, is completely open air. So there's been no restrictions on Century City. So that's the good news. For now, you can go to the Century City Mall and all the retail's open and all the restaurants are open. Restaurants are open, obviously, only outdoor dining. So if they have a enclosed area, they can only do the outside dining. But there's a lot of that in Century City. And what Century City, the Westfield Mall in Century City, has done is expanded, greatly expanded all the outdoor patio seating. So they've mm-hmm. taken over areas of the where will be like common areas of the mall, the walkways and all that. They've kind of roped them off and added much more seating. It's funny, there's a Del Fresco Steakhouse in the Century City mm-hmm. Mall, and mm-hmm. it's a beautiful, one of my favorite steakhouses, and it's beautiful, and they've, you know, it's just gorgeous inside. But, you know, they have no choice. They've roped off an area in the common walkway of the mall, and, you know, they've just set up like, you know, 20 or 30 chairs, tables and chairs outside. It's kind of funny, but at the same time, it's also a little bit unique, right? It's, you could have your wonderful ribeye steak and kind of be under the stars instead of being inside a restaurant. But you know, it's just exactly. It's just everyone's trying to grasp for air. Everyone's trying to figure out how best to stay afloat. You know, I don't have delusions that just doing curbside and delivery is gonna, you know, be highly profitable for us at all. Because you got to remember, our rents in the malls are so astronomical. We're paying for the mall traffic, which we don't have now. But the reason, I know a lot of you know, just friends that I know that are in the restaurant business are just shuddering because they're like, you know, you can't make money this way. And I respect that. And that's a valid decision. The reason we're trying to do everything we can to stay open is twofold. One, it's hard when you shut a restaurant down. Things you know, happen. You know, appliances don't work as well. Remember, we're open 7 days a week. We're never closed. So mm-hmm. when you shut things down, ice machines, refrigerators, you know, the grills, the gas, you know, it's hard to come back from that. You know, things always, you know, break, or there's always maintenance issues. So we want to stay open for that reason. Two, we still are serving our customers through delivery and all this online ordering and pickup. And that's been growing a lot ever since the pandemic started. And maybe that's the future. Maybe that's going to be the
I was going to ask you, what do you see the future? Where is the industry going into which direction?
You know, I feel like there's always going to be the millennials more so. There's always going to be the camp that just wants to sit at home and just eat, you know, have food delivered to them at whatever cost and eat it in their pajamas, you know, and that's a certain group of people. And I have friends who can't stand doing that, right? They need to go, they're dying right now. They need to go to a restaurant. They want to go. And so there's always going to be both, whether one sector is growing over the other, probably is going to be more delivery. And it's just interesting to see what happens with that industry. There's a lot of commotion right now. There's like, you know, the three or four big giants, you know, I think Uber Eats just acquired Postmates. Mm-hmm. Postmates was big in LA. And Uber is obviously Uber, you know, they're big everywhere. And you know, there's Grubhub, there's DoorDash. It's not sure what's going to happen with these guys, because these guys are kind of living off of Silicon Valley in investor money, and they're not really highly profitable businesses the way they're operating. What they're trying to just do right now is eat each other up for market share. So
I was going to say, it looks like they're competing amongst each other and not really worried about their income. Well, Gevik, we can talk about, this is such an interesting subject. We can talk about on and on. What I want to say is that I'm so happy to see that your dad's business, your business has been going on for 40 plus years. I wish you lots of success. I know that a lot of listeners already know about you. If someone didn't know about you, they will come and try it, and they will order it online. And I'm looking forward on coming to the Glendale location and sitting down and eating some of the delicious food that you have to offer. Thank you so much for today's conversation.
Anoush, thank you. And thank you for everything that you do for our Armenian. We have a lot of mutual friends in the Armenian wine industry, and everything you do for them. And we, you know, as much as we can help to promote that wonderful growing industry, you know, we always will.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Thank you.
This is Wine and Dine in LA with Anoush, where I talk about wine in a fun and approachable way and bring you all insights of the world of wine.